Welcome to the Circumcision of the Heart podcast series with your teacher, Henry Jackson.
Good morning, dear friends. We are going to go to session 6 of the study on the circumcision of the heart. In session 5, we discussed the gateway to heaven, how that our lives, if it's filled with the Holy Spirit, will open heaven to people. And so with session 6, we're going to continue with that. And we just want to pray before we start. So if we bow our heads, dear Lord, we thank you for the wonderful ability to teach your word, to read your word. Lord, that you call us to let yourself just flow through us, the fragrant presence of yourself flow through us. We want that. We desire that. And we ask that you open our hearts that we might hear your word, and hearing that we might understand and enact your word, Lord. May your blessing be upon the session in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, folks, I'm going to go to Psalm 42. It's a favorite psalm of mine. It's a psalm that's really impacted my life greatly. And I have shared it many times with people, but I keep on sharing it because it's just such a powerful psalm. So Psalm 42. And verse 1, it says there, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Now, as you go through scriptures and you study, you find how often the Holy Spirit is mentioned, is referred to as living water. Jesus stood there, and we can look at that scripture later on, John chapter 7, verse 37. He stood on the steps of the temple, and he said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this he said of the Spirit which was to come. So he refers directly to the Holy Spirit when he speaks about that. Ezekiel chapter 37, chapter 47 speaks about this water flowing out of the temple. And the prophet is commanded to go into the water deeper, 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 deeper. And it's again speaking about the Holy Spirit, being immersed in the Spirit. Now, what I see in Psalm 42 is not just a mention of the water, but it's a longing for it, a desire, a searching after that. It's a place where we almost feel at a desperation. I need this living water more than anything else in my life. It overshadows absolutely everything else in my life. This desire for the living water. And people have asked me several times about a revival and restoration, renewal in the church and in a country or in a town. And they have many plans, and they ask me what I think, how can they bring renewal? And I said, and I've looked at these plans, and I just think, man, something's wrong. I've said to them, there's one thing that's missing. One thing that's missing. We've got plans. We want to do all these things for God. But one thing that's missing is a desire for God himself. When I was in Zimbabwe, before my farm was taken, I very big plans of what I wanted to do for God. And if he would only listen to me, as it were, I had very big plans that would change the country and all that. And folks, all those plans just fell to pieces. And I started to realize that God, Holy Spirit spoke to me, started to realize that he doesn't need my plans. He needs me to be fully committed to him, to have died to my own plans, to my own desires, to my own theological persuasions and so on, to just die to that. Say, Lord, I want you more than anything else. And so here we see this beautiful scripture: as the deer pants for the water, or longs for the water, or searches for the water, so my soul longs after you. Would you describe your attitude towards God in this way? I long for you. I thirst for you. I hunger for you. I want you more than anything else in my life. Would that be a description of your own attitude towards God? Or is God just something that you go to every once a week on a Sunday or a Saturday or a whatever day, and you spend a few, maybe in half an hour or an hour, and then that's enough of God, and then you carry on with the rest of your life? Folks, our longing for God needs to take a central focus point in our lives if we want to see a real change. It needs to be a longing that's more than anything else that we long for. The rest of our lives are mean nothing in comparison with our longing for God. I'm going to read from what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 5. And we read here in verse 6. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, there's a hunger and thirst and a purity of heart, a purity I would describe as an absolute focus that nothing else distracts us. We're absolutely focused. Lord, I want you more than anything else. I want God in my life. I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord. We sing that song, I want to know you more. I want to see you, Lord. That's a beautiful song, and it echoes the deep desire of my heart. I can tell you from several times in my life where I've really prayed and said, God, I want you more than anything else. That God has always answered that prayer, but always in a way that I did not expect. It came in a time when everything else was taken away, like my farm was taken away, and we had to flee for our lives from Zimbabwe and arrive in South Africa with just a suitcase of clothes, and I was stripped of everything else, and a new relationship with Jesus Christ came upon me and in me like I'd never had before, because he was now focus point. And more recently I prayed and said, Lord, I deeply desire the things of the Spirit. And folks, it might be difficult to explain this, difficult to understand that, but I have a very, very deep longing for everything of God, and that he must become first place. And I said, I need to understand the things of the Spirit more. I deeply desire that. And shortly after that, a few days after I prayed very earnestly for that, I had a stroke and I lost my memory completely. I couldn't remember where I was for quite a long time. And it was a very difficult time. But in that time, I started to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, where I knew I had nothing. I didn't even have a memory. I didn't even have a thinking power. If you asked me what is 1 plus 1, I couldn't say to you 2. I had nothing. that I had a deep sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit, which I still have all the time. And I still carried on preaching, ministering. I went to places. My wife had to drive. I was not allowed to drive. I'd come to a place without knowing what I was going to say because I was so foggy from the medication, what have you, I was taking. I couldn't do anything for myself. But when I got behind the pulpit and started preaching, the Holy Spirit would take over, and out of my mouth would flow revelation of the after revelation and quotation after quotation of scripture, and putting all these things beautifully in order in such in powerful messages that definitely was not from me. But I realized that I had everything of my learning and my whatever had to be taken away from me, so that God only was there. And the Lord has restored my memory now, but I've learned the lesson that He needs to be first. And I have a deep longing, not just for myself, but for my hearers, for our country, our people, that we will come to a place in our lives where we say, God must be first in our lives. And folks, all the plans that we might make politically or economically, whatever, to increase or make the country better is of no effect whatsoever if God is not first place in those plans. And I want you to understand that. Let's go to back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. I think you can... Yeah, I hope you can hear that this is a passion of my heart, probably the deepest passion that I have. God, take first place in my life. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. There's water again of the Spirit. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. You who have no money, in other words, everything that I've had has been taken away. Then he says, come and eat, because now you're not adding me just to as an added extra to what you already have. You are emptied of yourself. Your jar is empty, and you're filling it with him. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. Ho, everyone, he's calling to us. He's calling to you. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry for more of God? Is there a deep desire in you that says, I need more of God? Well, he's calling to you. Ho, everyone who is thirsty, come to me. We go to Psalm 63. I'm just going to give you some scriptures because it's a scripture which is really precious. Psalm 63 and verse 1. He says here, it says the Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. It's amazing how spiritual renewal most often comes out of a wilderness time when there's nothing. Folks, before I read this, let me just tell you, the disciples had 3.5 years of personal discipleship training by Jesus. 3.5 years that Jesus with them all the time. He taught them. Then they personally saw the crucifixion take place. It was a terrible sight. They didn't understand. Then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and they all personally saw Jesus, touched him, felt him, chatted to him, heard him speak to them. And then Jesus said to them, I give you commission to go out and tell the world, but before you do that, you don't do anything. You wait until you are endued with power by the Holy Spirit. And they had to wait and pray and wait day after day after day and pray and pray and pray. They had all of the discipleship training, they had all the experience they saw, they were witnesses of all these things, but God said to them, wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you will receive power to be my witnesses. In other words, with all the knowledge that they had from the best teacher in the world, Jesus, with all the experience, all the things that they saw, they still had to wait. They were not equipped enough to do the job. They had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the day that when the Holy Spirit fell upon them, their lives so dramatically changed that Peter, who couldn't even tell a maid servant that he knew Jesus, just when the Holy Spirit fell upon him, he preached to 3,000 people. 3,000 people came to know Jesus in his first sermon. It completely changed Peter. So all of those other things, the discipleship training, were laying foundations in their lives, but they needed the Holy Spirit. And it was a wilderness time for them, a time of waiting, a time of insecurity, a time that they were behind locked doors. They didn't know what was going to happen. And it was out of that the Holy Spirit came. So a Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. You see the searching, this almost desperation. God, I need more of you. We need to get to that place. Each one of us, we need to get to the place of desperation for Jesus, desperation for him. Verse 5, it says then, verse 4, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you've been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows closely behind you. Your right hand upholds me. You see this, even in his bed, he lies there and thinks about God and just longs for him, and his soul follows him closely. There's a wonderful satisfaction that can only be filled, or a longing that only can be satisfied when we are completely filled with the Holy Spirit. And I spoke in the last session about this word, deerdrongen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, I think it says there, the Afrikaans version uses the word deerdrongen, which means saturated with the Holy Spirit, like that sponge that you push under the water and you push all the air out. You squeeze it until no more bubbles come, and then you open your hand and lift that sponge out of the water. That sponge is saturated. When you press it anywhere, water comes out. We need to be so saturated with the Holy Spirit that if you press us anywhere, even in persecution, Jesus will flow out. That's what we want. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. This is a scripture people often quote. They know the first part of this verse well, but they've never read the second part. So let's read the second part, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 12. He says the verse people know well is verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the verse people quote. They want the good. They want God's going to bless me and all that kind of thing. But Have you ever read the next verse? It says, then you will call upon me. Another translation says, you will search for me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, says the Lord. You will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Folks, set yourself to search for God. I mean, really search for him. Not being satisfied until you are drenched with the Holy Spirit. Search for God. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 17, it speaks about hidden manna. There's things that God hides from us, and we need to search for that. The manna, the bread of life, as it were, but it's hidden. It's not just apparent anywhere. There's a searching that's needed. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 and 7, he says, speaks about the hidden wisdom. And he says, Paul writes there, he says, we speak things that are normally hidden. They're secrets. They're hidden from the normal person. But we speak it out of the Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things and reveals to us hidden truths. So don't think that you've got all truth. The church that I belong to for many years and still closely associated to, in their church, what we believe and teach, doctrines that they set up, they put there something which I've never seen in any other churches, and I think it was a very wise thing. It says, we believe in progressive revelation. In other words, we believe that what we understand now isn't everything. There's always more with God. And we need to continue to search for more and more of God. So it's a very humble statement to say, I don't know it all. Most churches got their statements of belief. This is what we believe and teach. And you know, like we've got the whole embodiment of truth in this document. No, folks, that's arrogant. We don't have the whole embodiment of truth. There's many things that we don't know. And we need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into those things and to open up the hidden secrets that have been hidden from ages past. We read in Peter and in Judas how the angels and the prophets searched to try to understand what these things meant, but it was hidden from them until it was revealed through Jesus. So even the angels don't know all the things. There's a lot. The depths of God are so deep and the heights of God are so high that we can't have everything. There's always more to search for. There's always more to find out. He's got much more to give to us. But those things are revealed in the Spirit as we are hungry. To the degree that we are hungry, to that degree he fills us. Again and again and again and again. But it needs for us to be hungering and thirsting after the Lord. I'm going to close today's session with Psalm 24 and Psalm 91. Psalm 24, it says here, let's go to Psalm 24. Verse 3 speaks here about the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of the world and those who dwell in it. He's founded upon the seas and so on. And then he says in verse 3, who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor worn sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord. So he asks the question, who can ascend to that holy place? Psalm 91 speaks about a secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow, under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a secret place. Folks, we used to sing a song many years ago. It went like this. There's a secret hiding place in Jesus' side, in Jesus' side. There's a depth of heavenly grace in Jesus' side, in Jesus' side. There's a shelter from all sin, from all doubt, from all pride. And all the world may enter in this precious place, the secret place in Jesus' side. Folks, we're seeking the secret place. We're seeking more of God. We're seeking more of the revelation of God, the wisdom and knowledge of God, because we don't have it all. I don't care how clever a theologian might be and how many years he might have studied. He does not know everything. I don't know everything. There's much to learn, but it's revealed not to the clever, but to the hungry, to the thirsty, to the simple and humble person who knows I need God. I don't have it all myself. When we come to that place of humility, that's a good place. From where we can start getting revelation after revelation, where God can open the deep secrets to us and fill us to saturation with His Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit fill you and reveal to you the wonderful secrets of His Word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You that when we seek, You promise that we will find. When we search for You with all our hearts, You will allow us to find You. And so we declare that to You today, Lord. We want more of You. We search for more of You. We ask You. We open our hearts to You and we say, fill us, O Lord. Fill us to overflowing that we might know You more. I want to know You more. I want to see You more. I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit, more and more and more. I want to be saturated with Your Spirit, O Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, thank you very much. I just want to remind you that I have a website where many of these teachings are there, which I've written for your encouragement to build you in the knowledge of the Scriptures. The website is www.henryjackson.online. And there are articles and Bible study notes. There are books that are made available, not just my books, but other authors' books too, which I feel would be good for you. There are audio teachings. There are video teachings. You're welcome to browse there. The books are for sale. Because of the cost of the editing and so on, but all the rest are free of charge. You can download it. You can share with your friends. So www.henryjackson.online. May God bless you.
Jou oorwinning in Christus Radio. Basraak Web Radio. Basraak, jy kan enige uitdaging of bekommernis in jou lewe basraak. Basraak. Basraak Web Radio op www.basraak.tv.